I'm Vernon Joins, and we'll be discussing the subject of Let the Lord Build Your Home. Many people today do not know the difference between a home and a house. Many of the real estate people, they talk about this home is for sale and that home is for sale, and I certainly hope not. But we build a home in relationships, and we build a house with hammer, lumber, and nails and so forth. In the glorious history of this nation, never has there been such a sinister threat against the American home. And this somber and ominous pall hangs as a threatening storm in the newspapers and the TV and the radio and the movies. You can just see the spiraling divorce rates, broken vows, abandoned children, juvenile delinquency, and faded hopes and blasted dreams. Millions of homeless waifs have fallen victims of ungodly conditions, not of their own making. We talk about today, hear people talking about sexual freedom. And it's been the hue and the cry, but in truth, it's a hogwalla of degeneracy for depraved perverts, is what it really is. Never in the history of this nation has there been such a frontal attack against the sanctity of the home. The comic appeals to the reprobate minds with an insidious attack of ridicule against the marriage relationship and the fidelity and the honor and integrity that must attend this relationship. But these are as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness as they that count it a pleasure to write in the daytime. In 2 Peter 2, verses 12 and 13. Foolishly, we give ear to one who has been divorced and remarried time and again, as they boast, "I know all about women," or "I know all about men," the woman will say. Then he said in Jude, verse 8, "Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries." Sociologists are becoming alarmed over the disintegration of the home, knowing full well that chaos and ruin must follow as a tidal wave. Our only avenue of escape is a return to God and to His way. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it." In Psalms 127, verse 1, God ordained the home, and only He can preserve this divine primary social institution. Now, the Lord said, "Let marriage be had in honor." Now, under the law of Moses, God gave His people restrictions against marrying foreigners, and that is, those who were not of the children of Israel. And in the New Covenant, the same teaching prevails. When He says, "Be ye not," or as the Greek says, "become not," unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Now, this is for general application, not just for the marriage relationship only. But most of all, it is the close reunion of a marriage. For once a home has been established, it is never to be dissolved. "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth." Romans 7 and verse 2. But the husband is not released from this binding tie. "For whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." And he went on to say, "He that marrieth her, that is put away, committeth adultery." God has thus ordained that the marriage bond shall endure for life, and no cause for divorce shall be occasioned. "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Hebrews 13 and verse 4. We must build homes on the foundation of God's holy word. These instructions are given concerning the marriage relationship and the children in the home. And we will note just a few of those in the time left in our study today. And here he says that the husbands are to love their wives. You know, this is something that God says the husband is to do. It's not something that some sociologist or some preacher has decided. But the husband-wife relationship is the closest union that exists on the face of the earth, and therefore receives divine instruction. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Colossians 3 and verse 19. And such a course of action will promote peace and love. But the apex of marital instruction is found in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 33, when he said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then he says, "And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." We have selected portions of verses that apply to this relationship from this passage. Where can you find better marriage counseling than this? The answer is you can't. If followed religiously, this course of action would close the divorce courts. But there are further instructions. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and I like the fact that he says to your own husbands, not to someone else's, as unto the Lord. There is the way that a woman is to submit herself to her husband, as she submits herself to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Jesus does not rule over the church as a tyrant, but rules by love. Even so, the husband rules his house, and he does not rule it as a tyrant, but he rules it by love. This relationship does not foster strife, but peace and harmony. The two have become one, so the Lord says, and the wife, by love, can win her husband to the Lord by her godly life. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. What a wonderful thing, then, a wife can do if her husband cannot be reached with the printed word, with the preached word, that her life can be such an example to him as she lives with him as husband and wife, so that she can be won by the life that she lives. Then concerning the children, he says the children are an heritage of the Lord. You know, we think of children as offspring of the parents, but in the home, children become mainsprings. A birth of a baby revitalizes love. It sets, it cements the marriage relationship. It blesses the home. And children can be a moving force behind attaining happiness and peace in the home. But we must recognize, as the Lord said in Psalms 127:3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." As a legacy of God, we must accept our children of paramount importance and deal with them wisely. May the Lord say unto us, as he did to Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Genesis 18 and verse 19. After all, parents determine the children's future to a great extent. When he says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Timothy became a valuable worker for the Lord. But Paul could say to him, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. His faith was imparted by godly grandmother and mother. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. This is the fruit of a godly home environment. But both parents must be concerned with the spiritual development of their children. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 6 and verse 4. If the home is to be founded on God's Word, then it must be taught to all that are in the home. And the children then have a responsibility in responding in the right way to their parents. When he says that, children, obey your parents. Now, in the giving of the law of Moses, God commanded, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Paul quotes this passage stating that it is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3. Paul had just written, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, in verse 1. And he also stated that this obedience was well-pleasing to the Lord, Colossians 3 and verse 20. A child cannot please God if he is disobedient to his parents. Solomon taught, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, Proverbs 1 and verse 8. But all too often, it is thought that this ends when the child leaves home. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. The parent's concern for the children and for each child does not end with his maturity, nor does the obligation to honor and respect the parent cease when he leaves home. A curse is placed against children who ignore their responsibility to their parents. Matthew 15, verses 5 and 6. And Paul was writing of debased men who were disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. Children must strive to make the home secure by adhering to God's Word. This nation sorely needs the stability which a Christian homes can give. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Proverbs 14:34. If sanctity, integrity, and honor of the home is eroded, then the whole nation will suffer irretrievable loss. America has forged two world leadership because of the spiritual and moral values that assured greatness. If these are forfeited, America's doomed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In Psalms 33:12. Of course, the question that is foremost just now, can we change the course? God gives the answer. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The way to return is to make sure our homes are founded on God's Word.